Hello, this is the Datenaffäre. You're eavesdropping on data analytics. My name is Annika Bergbauer. The topic of this episode is finding the right doctor. Oftentimes when people fall ill, it is unclear what the cause and the disease are. Doctors who are experienced with the symptoms of patients can faster and more safely recognize the disease and its treatment. Yet, how do I find the right doctor matching my symptoms? My guest and I talk about the provision of information in the healthcare system, this time from the Asian perspective. Chris Garrett is head of country Malaysia and Hong Kong at DocDoc. He aims at disrupting the healthcare status quo by empowering patients. Chris, welcome to Datenaffäre.
Thank you so much, Annika. Been looking forward to having the conversation today. I appreciate taking the time.
Thank you. What is DocDoc? What do you do there?
Sure. Well, we'll have time to peel the onion, but at a high level, DocDoc is the world's first patient intelligence company. So we collect and structure healthcare data, and then we use predictive analytics to match patients with the most relevant physicians at a procedure or a condition level of granularity. What this does is it allows us to reduce avoidable medical costs, which can come via medical error, while also providing patients with the data they seek as consumers. Data that is available to them in other consumer industries, such as when you or I want to go purchase an automobile, but data that has been inaccessible in healthcare historically. So DocDoc is operating in 8 countries. We're headquartered in Singapore with offices around the Asia region. We recently launched a partnership in mainland China, and we are also now exploring partnerships in Europe, the Middle East, in Africa as well, in addition to a few other markets here in Asia.
So you make information available about doctors for patients.
That's one component of our ecosystem. It's a very important component of our ecosystem, is we collect data that is historically, especially in this part of the world, not being captured by TPAs or insurers, as there are challenges with the coding compliance and things of that nature in the region. So we go out and we collect this data, we structure it, and we use analytics to help patients navigate the healthcare industry. We don't publish data on doctors. We're not rating or ranking doctors or anything of that nature. What we're doing is partnering with doctors because we don't believe in such a thing as a good or a bad doctor. We believe in the right doctor for the right procedure or the right condition. So we're collecting an abundance of data, which we can talk through, and then we're structuring it in a way that allows policyholders to actually have transparency in their healthcare journey so they can make informed decisions. So they're no longer flying blind when they need to access care for, you know, something of complexity, such as when you need to see a specialist.
And how do you get all this information about the doctors?
Yeah, well, that's the key question. So out here in Asia, you know, when DocDoc initially set up, our goal was to partner with the third-party administrators, even with the insurance companies, to leverage the data assets that they are sitting on. Now, part of the problem in Asia, and I'm not as familiar with Germany, but in Asia especially, a lot of the health insurance claims are still managed and administrated in a paper or PDF format. It's still heavily paper-based out here, which means the data is not actually being extracted in a machine-readable format. To give you an example, I had a meeting with the CEO of one of the large insurance companies in Hong Kong, and we were talking through this, and he said, "Chris, I've got 5 floors of data right here, and there's absolutely nothing I can do with it." And that's not a condemnation of the insurers. That's just the inefficiency of the industry. So to collect this data, we have to set up teams of on-the-ground experts in their local markets, and most of them come from the pharmaceutical or medical device industry, where they are familiar with interacting with doctors. And we go and we collect this data door to door. So we have a standardized process where we meet the doctors, we do pre-screening, we identify them, then we sit down with them, and we collect all of this data directly from them across medical outcome, price, and experience. And we can talk through that more if you would like. We collect it, we code it, we normalize it, we populate portals in the doctor's offices, they sign contracts with us, and then we have different layers of how we verify that data and we update it, which we can also talk about if you would like.
And that's a lot of work to like see and screen every single doctor.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot of work, which is why no one else has done it. DocDoc has spent considerable amount of financial and human resources undertaking this process, but it is literally the only way to get the baseline data and the baseline data architecture in place to allow you to do what DocDoc is doing in healthcare, which is driving efficiency. So we've spent many years building out these networks. That being said, it is scalable and it can be done actually quite quickly. So our acceptance rate for doctors over the past year and a half to approaching 2 years has been 97%. So 97% of the specialists we approach undergo this onboarding process with us. There's no financial incentives between us and the doctors. We have an approach of how we partner with them. And to date, we now have the largest specialist networks in Singapore, in Hong Kong, and in Malaysia. And it is rapidly growing in Indonesia.
And how do you make sure they, when you interview doctors about how many surgeries they've done and how experienced they are, that they don't lie, that they make themselves way better than they are in reality?
Yeah, good question. So the first thing to point out here is our approach, right? Doctors, quite rightly so, would not want to partner with some invasive startup that says our approach to the market is we're going to come here and rank and audit or assess and publicly publish things. That would never work. Our approach, again, is that we don't believe in good or bad doctors. We believe in the right doctor for the right procedure. So when we speak with these doctors, we say, okay, you're an orthopedic doctor, but you really, really subspecialized in hip replacement surgery. You're really good at that procedure. We want to send you the patients you want to see because that's what you're subspecialized in. That's what you're very efficient in. And that process will make your practice more efficient. And they typically are happy with that. Again, this is the specialist space, not general practitioners. But as you said, there could be some doctors who, let's say, exaggerate some of the statistics that are provided to us. So we have a clinical informatics team which follows a standardized process of data normalization, identifying outliers. If outliers are identified, we will go and speak with the doctors to address those. And that is just to set a baseline. Now, there's another component to DocDoc's platform that we can talk about in greater detail, which is the back end. It's a digital third-party administration claims processing technology we have, which allows us to run analytics anyway, where we can see what doctors are actually charging, what they're actually prescribing, the actual volumes of procedures and conditions they're actually performing, and run a whole bunch of analytics. So there's different layers that we verify. And lastly, we also verify against publicly available data. So in Hong Kong and Singapore, as an example, the governments have published data in terms of what procedures are actually being charged in certain hospitals. And so we can use that also as a reference point as we're verifying the data that we're collecting.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you use artificial intelligence to analyze the data. What do you do there? What are you interested in?
Yeah. So artificial intelligence, as you know, is a highly loaded word in the technology and startup space. At the end of the day, what DocDoc has done is kind of threefold. Number one, we've built a data architecture. This is the key piece because you can go and collect all the data you want, but if you don't have an architecture that allows for robust analytics that doesn't actually crosswalk the standardized code sets in healthcare, which your listeners may be familiar with, such as ICD or SNOMED or CPT, these code sets in the industry that talk about diagnosis, they talk about procedures, but don't traditionally talk to one another. So DocDoc built a data set and data architecture that crosswalks these different code sets. So then we go out and we collect all of this data from the doctors across three variables. So our methodology is what we call HOPE. It stands for the heuristic for outcome, price, and experience. So underneath outcome, price, and experience, we collect all this data on doctors. As you said, one of those data points being procedure and condition volumes of a doctor. We collect it, we code it, we put it into that data architecture. And the intent is to then be able to use our algorithms to start analyzing practice patterns. Practice patterns are key, right? So you as a consumer of healthcare, if you hurt your knee playing sports, as an example, and you need an ACL repair, you don't want to be sent to an orthopedic doctor who primarily specializes in hips, mm-hmm. right? Yes, he's an orthopedic doctor as well, but you would like to go to the guy who's very subspecialized at ACL repair, who's done a bunch of them, and his predictive outcome based on the data is far higher than a doctor who's only done a couple of those procedures, as an example. So those are the types of trends or algorithms identified to help patients navigate their healthcare journey.
Okay. And you mentioned you also partner with insurances. Why are insurances interested in you? Is it because they would learn about what is the failure rate of doctors and to choose a cheaper doctor who is better in his profession?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of aspects to that. So as we know, insurance is one of the oldest business models in the world. The insurance companies have vast, vast footprints, vast numbers of policyholders. So for us as a business development and a strategic standpoint, partnering with the insurers who have brands, who have reputations, makes sense in terms of accessing lives and helping them drive efficiencies. But one of the problems a lot of the insurers are seeing here in Asia and around the world is medical inflation. You know, if you look at my home country of the United States, according to Johns Hopkins, the third leading cause of death overall, right behind cancer and cardiology related issues, is medical error. And the United States is the most expensive healthcare market in the world. So the opaque nature of data in the industry allows for these inefficiencies to exist. And what we're doing is helping insurers actually collect and structure data on their physician panels, but not just on their physician panels, on their claims profiles, on policyholder behavior, et cetera, to drive those inefficiencies. The key thing to take away from what I'm saying is that we have verified across different markets that cost and quality really has no correlation. What you pay a doctor does not translate to the quality of care in terms of medical outcome that a patient sees. And the price variances of what are being charged are huge. Medical outcome rates, as I said, in the United States, as an example, are all over the place. We don't even know what they are in Indonesia and Malaysia because it's not actually reported on. You know, so what we're doing is using our approach to data to help insurers drive efficiency, but also have better engagement with their own policyholders. The reality is, even though the insurers try their best, there's a perceived conflict of interest. Policyholders believe that the insurer is going to send them to a doctor that's cheaper and not necessarily better quality. Mm-hmm. And so we come in and say, hey, we've collected this data. We run and produce these digitized reports specifically for you as a policyholder. Take it or leave it. But we're here to provide you with verified data to help you along your patient journey. And by doing so, helping the insurance company establish a more trusted relationship with the policyholders who are members.
Okay. We've talked now a lot about what DocDoc is and what it does, but how did you become aware of DocDoc?
Yeah, good question. So I've been with DocDoc 2.5 years, getting closer to 3 years now. Prior to that, I worked in senior roles for a company called International SOS, which is by far the world's leader in medical and security assistance. And I worked in roles around Asia. Now, quite a few of my colleagues from International SOS were already working for DocDoc. And as the company had reached a point where it was really starting to accelerate in its expansion around Asia, they started looking to recruit somebody of my background. They reached out to me and we had that conversation. And I was really, really impressed, number one, by the founding story of Cole and Grace, which if your listeners are interested in learning about, you can see online where their daughter became the youngest pediatric flip live liver transplant patient in the world. And it really inspired them to create this company. And that mission-driven nature they have is something I had at International SOS. I've been involved in, you know, medical response for terrorist attacks and natural disasters and really high-profile cases. And I really felt the magnitude of what happens when patients don't have the ability or information to navigate healthcare. And so DocDoc was just taking the next step in that, the next evolution. And I was really inspired to join. And for the last 2.5, 3 years, prior to COVID especially, you've just been running around Asia at warp speed. And it's been really exciting.
So you're now talking as a salesperson about DocDoc, but do you know how it is to be a patient or relative of a patient who urgently needs help?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yes, I know I come across as a salesperson, but rest assured, I'm very passionate and very experienced, and I mean everything I'm saying. In terms of my own personal use, you hit the nail on the head. So my background, as I mentioned earlier, I've been exposed to all sorts of really interesting and critical and heart-wrenching cases in the past. Now, I was not prepared for the transformative nature of what DocDoc really does until I had to use the platform myself. And that took place about 6 months after I had joined DocDoc. I was on a trip to Singapore, a business trip. And my son, who was only 6 months old at the time, I was in Jakarta with my wife, and he came down with a horrible fever. My wife called me around, it was nearly midnight, and she was really upset, really panicked. He had a very high fever, a lot of vomiting and diarrhea. And so she took him to the closest facility in that part of Jakarta, which is a women and children's hospital. Now, the pediatrician was not even on duty. There was an attending nurse who put the pediatrician on the phone. I ended up talking to him. He made a recommendation without doing any tests whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He made a recommendation of wanting to prescribe certain medication and to admit my son. Now, red flags started going off to me. It didn't make sense. He didn't have any data to work with. So I told my wife to take him to another facility, which is an international clinic. He was in the emergency room till about 5 a.m, and they managed to get a stool sample, which indicated the presence of amoebic cysts, so a parasitic infection, the eggs of an amoeba. Now, what was really becoming concerning was the vomiting and diarrhea and the fever. It just wasn't abating. And with a six-month-old child, they became very concerned with dehydration, which could be fatal for a kid of his age. And so the doctors got on the phone with me and they made a recommendation to refer him to a nearby hospital to do an invasive intestinal IV insertion to ensure that he was hydrated. Now, on a six-month-old child, obviously that's very invasive. We were very concerned, very stressed out. So I said, okay, I'm already in Singapore. Thankfully, he's not at the stage where he needs a medical evacuation via air ambulance yet. We can still fly him commercially. So let's get you and he over to Singapore and let's sort this out. Now, I knew what we needed to do, but I didn't know who we needed to see. And I did what every patient does who interacts with DocDoc's platform. I went through a process of speaking to DocDoc's in-house physicians, part of the doctor discovery team. I gave them the background on the case, my son's medical history, and they took the data that I shared with them and they put it into the Hope platform. Now, within minutes, I was sitting in my hotel room in Singapore with a customized digital report, which showed a panel of three pediatricians most relevant to manage my son's condition. As an example, the doctor we ultimately selected, she was not just a pediatrician, but she subspecialized in infectious diseases. She worked in that capacity in Australia and at Boston Children's Hospital in the US. And thankfully, DocDoc managed to book an appointment with her the following morning. And we went and saw her And she said, Chris, you wouldn't believe how many parents come to me from Bali or from Jakarta with their kids in similar situations. I'm pretty sure I know what your son is dealing with. So she sent us away to do more tests. And her assumption was right. She overruled the initial diagnosis. My son did not have a parasitic infection. He actually had salmonella, which required an entirely different course of treatment. And so within, a couple of days with the medication, my son was doing well. But what really blew my mind around that was, if you think about the user journey, I actually have worked in the healthcare industry in this part of the world for a decade, and still we're bouncing around between provider A, provider B, ultimately provider C. It's a clunky experience, and medical outcomes go down while the costs go up and the patient anxiety and the patient stress goes up. And so what DocDoc allowed me to do is cut through all of that noise and go straight to the physician who said, yep, I see this all the time. I have a high volume in this. I have a lot of experience. I'm subspecialized in this. This is what we need to do. And that was when the light bulb went on for me, that when you really empower patients, it's a game changer for their medical journey.
Yeah. This is a very impressive story. Thank you for sharing this with us. I think so, having been in Indian hospitals, I think I can a bit relate to being in developing countries and where medical standards are not necessarily followed. I think we have that problem a bit less in Germany, but I guess quality of doctors still differs.
Exactly. And, actually the head of my former company, International SOS in Indonesia, is a German doctor, Dr. Uwe Stalker. And we talked a lot about the difference in healthcare systems between Germany and Indonesia and Asia. There are definitely stark contrasts. Now, there is some great care out here, though. Malaysia has really made huge strides. Singapore is world class. Thailand is world class for certain procedures and conditions, and other markets are also improving. You just mentioned India. There are certain procedures in India that actually have some of the best outcome rates in the world. But you don't want to just walk down the street into any random facility.
It's very unequally distributed. Yeah,
exactly. Last thing I would say about that is, in this part of the world, medical tourism is really big, right? In Indonesia, 600,000 to 800,000 Indonesians leave Indonesia every year for medical care, primarily Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand. And that's another area where we fit. We help them identify the doctors they want to see that's unique for their condition. And we help steer them to where they need to go.
Cool. Your LinkedIn says you want to disrupt the healthcare status quo by empowering patients. What do you mean with that?
Sure. Disrupt doesn't need to be an aggressive form of disruption. Disrupt can be partnering with incumbents to really shift the dynamics of inefficiency that exist, which is what we're doing. The inefficiencies that I alluded to, like in my home country of the United States, right? Now, if you look at the nature of other consumer industries, the consumers actually have a voice. But in healthcare, it's interesting because consumers typically don't pay for their healthcare. The private insurer or the national insurer or their employers are often paying for their healthcare. And as a result, the industry doesn't value the patient. It doesn't necessarily think that it needs to provide patients with data that they would typically receive as consumers in other industries. So the alignment has led towards this type of inefficiency. So when we talk about disrupting, what we mean is empowering patients, providing them with the intelligence they need to have informed decision-making, to clear up the opaque nature of data in the industry. And by doing that, on the flip side, the cool thing is you can actually save a lot of money. And we verified this in pilots with and work with numerous insurance companies, which shows you can tremendously reduce avoidable costs, but also make the policyholder happy and lead and help steer them towards a better medical outcome. So that's really what we mean by disrupting and empowering patients.
Yeah, so yeah, it reminds me again of what you said earlier, that the industry, the medical industry, the healthcare sector is still so paper driven. So in Germany, we still have the debate about we have a plastic card where all of our information is saved when we go to the doctor, but it's not accessible for different doctors. They just read in the information they generate in their local, at the local doctor. So I think linking this data, this would be incredibly helpful.
No, you're 100% right. And to give you an example, you know, in Asia, you know, regulators in some of the markets here are actually really quite progressive. And Singapore, as an example, is looking at initiatives to really help centralize and consolidate the data that is captured in healthcare, you know, via insurance claims. There's initiatives, you know, innovative initiatives around that that we're actually partaking in. Because as you said, if you can actually bridge the gap, if you can actually clear up some of the ambiguity, and you can allow data to be structured and then captured in a way that drives transparency, the flip side is it also drives efficiency. You know, medical inflation in Malaysia and Singapore and in other markets is running away. And when you have aging populations, as you do, Hong Kong, as an example, has the longest life expectancy on Earth now. When you have these aging populations and runaway medical inflation, you're looking at a major problem for governments. So the ability to do exactly what you just said is no longer becoming a nice to have, but it's becoming a strategic and national imperative in some of these countries.
But this is something governments or firms need to change. What could our listeners do differently after we've talked now?
Well, it depends if your listeners are insurers or private individuals. If they're insurers, what they could do is come talk to me. but really and seriously is to take on the insurance side, let's say, take a long, hard look at your strategy around innovation. There are a lot of startups in the space, especially around health insurance. There are a lot of different models out there around, you know, wellness, around preventative measures, chronic care management, telemedicine, all these things that are very valuable that we are involved with, but need to take a look at actually redefining your approach to managing healthcare on a fundamental level. And we talk about fundamental, we're talking getting right down to the architecture of what you're doing with the data, how you're capturing it, and really have a strategic rethink about that. We have done it. We have the expertise in-house. DocDoc's executive chairman is a very well-known clinical informaticist in the U.S. He works at Stanford University, and he worked on the Obamacare initiative, spending $20 billion testing healthcare data in the U.S. So DocDoc is deriving our entire methodology from experience like that. And we can partner with insurers to help them rethink what they're doing with data for the betterment of their policyholders, but also the betterment of their bottom line.
Excellent. That sounds good. Chris, thank you that you were my guest at Datenaffäre.
Oh, I was really happy to chat. And if any of your listeners have questions, would like to learn more about DocDoc, please go ahead and visit our website. You can go to YouTube. You can see videos of our founders speaking to the New York Stock Exchange and other things really about the mission driving the business. And we'd be happy to speak with you.
Absolutely. And I will link your information on my website. Thank you. This was the episode Finding the Right Doctor. Chris and I talked about how important it is to empower people with data, especially in the medical industry, where many processes are still paper-based and inefficient. On the positive side, Chris elaborated that there are ideas out how to improve healthcare provision. If you would like to find out more about how well patients are treated, listen to episode 14 of the Datenaffäre, in which Anya Smith talks about the quality of healthcare in South Africa. Thus, as Chris proposed, keep an eye out for the medical startups who provide information for you to enjoy better healthcare provision. Thank you for listening, and until next time at the Datenaffäre.